It's a great blessing to be with you tonight. I very much appreciate what's gone before and the song service, the energy by which it was engaged in, fervent prayer that's been offered by our brother, and do ask that you continue in prayer what time we stand before you. Just one little aside before we begin. We're very blessed here locally, here at Cool Springs and in this area, to have a lot of small children underfoot. And I get reminded of my own as they were, and some of them still are small, but also times in the past. Years ago, I was a teenager when this happened. There was a couple at church. Thought about this just now because as soon as Brother Caleb said amen, I heard several children say amen. This little rascal that was born, I was about 13 or 14 when he was born. He was a bonus baby, as they say. And when he turned about 2 or 3, he knew that at some point someone was going to say amen and church was going to be over. So it didn't matter which prayer it was. It didn't matter if a brother said amen while my dad was preaching. Every time he heard amen, he said, "That's all." I can tell you, it's hard to keep your composure in the middle of preaching when a big old deacon says, "Amen." You hear back there, "That's all." And sometimes my mind still goes back to that, especially tonight when I heard several children chime out amen when Brother Caleb was done. I thought, "That's all." I hope in about 5 minutes you don't think, "Yeah, that's all." Do ask that you be in prayer for us, that the Lord will be with us in a very special way. I'd like to direct your mind and attention to Genesis chapter 40. We've been, I know it's been kind of off and on here lately, been looking at a series on the life of Joseph. And where we left off last time, Joseph is in prison, and he's been put in prison for something he hasn't done. But as we mentioned in our last effort, Joseph's decorum, his course of life in prison, was just like it was at any other time of life. Whether he was up or whether he was down, he acted the same. He acted righteously. And in Genesis 40, there is a story about what happens, an experience that Joseph has in prison. Now, for the sake of time, we're probably not going to read this entire story. We're probably going to pick and choose some selections. But beginning in verse 1, of Genesis 40, we read these words. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in war. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream, and one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker, the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler, told his dream to Joseph, and said unto him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine there were three branches, and it was as though it had budded, and the blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head, and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they might put me into the dungeon. And I guess we're going to read all of this. It says, and when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and thou shalt hang on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. In this experience that Joseph has, he has got two prisoners committed to his hand, and these prisoners have been committed to Joseph's trust because the captain of the guard has learned from experience that Joseph is a good man and things prosper in his hand. Now, we sang a song tonight that called How Tedious and Tasteless the Hours, and there is a phrase in that song that talks about when you and I are content with beholding the face of the Lord, that prisons would palaces prove if Jesus would dwell with me there. I'm sure when the baker and the butler ended up in prison, they weren't expecting to find any help. They weren't expecting to find any encouragement. And yet here's Joseph in the midst of the prison, and he's there giving encouragement to one of Pharaoh's officers. Now, we're going to focus more on the butler tonight than we are the baker. But notice this butler. He's offended his Lord. It doesn't tell us what he's done. But when you offend somebody like Pharaoh or a king, your life's in jeopardy. He's in prison not knowing how long he's going to be there. He's in prison not knowing if he's going to end up dying for his transgression. And so he's really in a state of confusion, but he's also in a state of where his life has just been taken down to a very low point. Now, we may not end up in a physical prison. We may not end up literally offending the president or some other magistrate that rules over us, but we'll find ourselves from time to time in dark places. We'll find ourselves from time to time in the dungeons of life. And when we do, I think it's important for us to remember that even in the dark places of life, even when we're at our lowest point, we are not without the presence of the Lord. We're not outside of Him being with us to comfort us and to give us encouragement. You and I, a lot of times, bemoan our circumstances. We bemoan our situation. And yet, we forget sometimes that the Lord's with us even in our low points. He's with us even in our hard and difficult times. And notice that when they are sad, they're sad probably for a multitude of reasons, but one of the reasons they're sad is they've had these dreams and they don't know what they mean. A lot of times we get shook up when we don't know what something means. We don't know what the future holds and it kind of troubles us. And Joseph is very quick and Joseph is very clear to say that when it comes to things of this nature, when it comes to interpretations, when it comes to revelation, these things belong to God. Now Joseph's going to interpret these things, but he does so with the stipulation that anything he says is of any value. If he has any revelation or any interpretation to give, it's because God has given it to him. And I think that's good advice and good encouragement for a minister of the gospel. There's nothing wrong with thanking God for a minister of the gospel. I know men who've had a lot of influence for a lot of years amongst God's people. We had a conversation this afternoon with a couple of sisters, and we talked about how there are certain men who, due to their ministry, the length of it, the breadth of it, how much they travel, they've touched a lot of lives. They've been heard in many places. And these men have a lot of influence. They've encouraged and built up a lot of people. But even those men, at their very best day, they needed the Lord's help to do the very things that they did. You have been blessed here, or as long as recent memory goes, to have some very well-esteemed men as your pastor. There's probably not three more known men during their generation and during their time than Elder Cecil Daugherty, Elder Sam Bryant, and Elder Ricky Harcrow. They're known from coast to coast. They're known as being very powerful ministers of the gospel. They're known as being those who minister encouragement to God's people. But even those men and other men like them, as good as they are at what they do, as blessed as they are at what they do, as many talents as they have in performing these things, they need the help of the Lord to do the things that they do. And Joseph's very quick to say, if there is an interpretation, if there is something good to come out of this, it's in the Lord's hand to do it. And friends, if you ever get anything good out of my preaching, it's out of the Lord's hand and out of the Lord's direction that you get it. But when they give Joseph their dreams, he begins to interpret for them. And he begins to reveal unto them those things that have been kept secret. He begins to expound unto them the things that troubled their mind. He tells the butler, you're about to get out of here. You're about to be back where you were. Life's about to be good again. He's going to tell him, look, you're going to be restored and it's going to be like this didn't happen. It's going to be a very distant memory. But here's what I want to focus on tonight, because this is what is so important to this lesson. Joseph makes one request of this butler. He makes one simple request, and that simple request is found, I'm going to read it again, in verse 14 and verse 15. Joseph says, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Joseph's simple statement, his simple request is, just think on me. Remember me. When the opportunity arises, speak to Pharaoh on my behalf, because I am here unjustly. There's been a lot of things said about me that I haven't done. There's been a lot of things made of me that are false and incorrect. And all I'm asking you to do is to think on me and to remember me. You know, a lot of times we go to the Lord when we're in need. We go to the Lord when we're in times of trouble. This butler came to Joseph in a time of trouble. And yet when life was good again, when he was restored to his place, when the dungeon was a distant memory, when the prison was a thing of the past, what does it say the butler did about Joseph? It says that he forgot him, and he forgot all the kindness that Joseph had showed unto him. How is your life? How is my life? A lot of times when I'm down in despair, when I'm down upon my knees and I can't tell which way is up, I call upon the Lord and ask Him to help me. A lot of times when I struggle and I don't know what to do and my countenance is very sad, I ask the Lord to help me. And yet so many times the Lord comes to me in the dark. The Lord comes to me in my time of need. He restores unto me a good countenance. He restores unto me a revival of spirit. Things become a lot like they were before. The past, the struggle that I went through, it's in the distant past. It's no longer something I think about. It's something I can remember if I choose to, but the pain of it and the sting of it is gone, and what do I do? A lot of times I don't thank the Lord for His goodness. I don't thank the Lord for His kindness, and I forget all the wonderful things He's done for me. Notice what David says in Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, David gives us the manner in which you and I should think upon the Lord. In Psalm 139, he says, we'll start in verse 15. Well, I guess we'll start in verse 14. What we're driving to is verse 17. In verse 14 of Psalm 139, David says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. He said, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. David's basically saying, from the very moment that I had a life, the moment I had a conception, you have been upon me, your eye has been upon me, you've set your affection on me, you know all there is to know about me. Friends, he knew about us before we drew a breath. He knew more about us before we ever said a word. He knew more about us than before we had any kind of cognitive thought. His eyes have been upon us. His hand has been upon us. And he has seen us. And he knows us right well. Notice what David said his response is. Verse 17, he says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than all the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Here David says, if I was to spend my time having thoughts and thinking about all the things that you have done and all the things that you are, he said, there's more than I can count. They're more in number than the sand. He said, I couldn't possibly number them all up. One of my fathers in the ministry, Elder Bill Walden, told me one time, he said, you've heard the old expression, if you would sit there and count your blessings, you wouldn't have room for complaining. He said, I can take it a step further. Because Brother Bill, bless his heart, he was a worrier. And he didn't mind telling you he was a worrier. Now, he hid it well. Well, I say he did. He did and he didn't. He hid it well outwardly. He didn't hide it so well physically. Because Brother Bill's way of dealing with stress took about 20 minutes. He would drive to town, go to Dairy Queen, and have a Belly Buster burger and a Blizzard. Now, you could tell physically that that's how he dealt with stress. He hit it well because in 20 minutes he was done. The Blizzard and the Belly Buster burger made him feel a lot better. The point is this. He took it a step further with about worry. He said, Brother Philip, I've learned this. He said, it's not just that if I'll count my blessings. He said, I won't have room to complain. He said, but if I'll go back and think about all the times that the Lord has blessed me, that the Lord has stood by me, it'll make me not worry about what's coming. Because if I go back and I look in the past, where is it in the past that He hasn't been with me? Where in the past has He not stood by my side? Now, there's been times I didn't see Him when He stood by my side. There's times I didn't feel Him, but looking back, I can say, surely the Lord has not left me. Surely the Lord has not forsaken me. What is there possibly in the future that I'm going to face that's worth worrying about? I mean, if you knew that every step of your life, every step of your journey, the biggest, strongest, most powerful person was going to walk by your side, what would you be afraid of? Well, friends, the biggest, most strongest, powerful person walks by your side every day of your life. What is there to be afraid of? David says, if I could spend my life counting all your thoughts, Lord, counting all your blessings, if I was to number them all up, he said, there is so much there, I couldn't possibly get to the end of it. And all the Lord has required of us, in all the things that He's done for us, is to think upon Him and to remember Him and to speak well of Him when the opportunity arises. Joseph wasn't asking the butler, just barge right into the palace and tell Pharaoh about my case. He says, think upon me. He says, think upon me. And when the opportunity's there, then speak well of me unto Pharaoh. When you have the right time and the right opportunity, speak of him, speak of me in His presence and in my behalf. You know, the Lord has not asked of us to go around this world just beating people over the head, telling them all about Jesus Christ. You know, there's an old expression, I don't know if it's in common use here, but have you heard the old expression that a mind convinced against its will is of the same opinion still? Think about it. It'll come to you at some point. A mind convinced against its will is of the same opinion still. You can beat somebody, twist their arm, and when you walk away, they're going to go right back to the way they were thinking in the first place. So it's not my job or yours either to just march around this world beating the name of Christ over the head about people. But I tell you this, friends, if we live a kind of life like we ought to live, when the opportunity arises, we should speak well in His behalf. We should remember Him and speak of Him and refute all the vain things that this world says about Him. Joseph is in prison for being lied about. Joseph's in prison for people telling tales about him. And as a matter of fact, he's even in this land for being sold there by his brethren. All these things were done to him unjustly. I ask you this, are people unjust about Jesus Christ today? Yes, they are. Are they telling lies about Jesus Christ today? Yes, they are. Do they badmouth His name today? Yes, they do. And in all these things, you and I, when the opportunity arises, should speak well of Him in His behalf and to speak well for His name's sake. Because consider, friends, how much He's done for us. He comes to us in our darkest moments. He comes to us and lifts us up out of the prisons of this life. But even more than that, He has declared unto us that we have been restored, that our position with our God and our fellowship with our King has been given to us again, much like this butler's position and fellowship with his King was going to be restored. You and I have been told time and time again from the Word of God how He has saved us from our sins. We talked this morning about how He had by Himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Friends, He didn't have your help. He didn't ask your opinion. He did it by Himself. He did it fully, completely, and for all time. Jesus Christ has done that. What has He asked in return? What has He asked of me in return? All He has asked of me in return is to think upon Him and to give Him thanks for all the things that He's done for me. Friends, when I should count up all the things that He's done. Brother Caleb mentioned in his prayer that the very small things in life, the very next breath that we take, the next beat of our heart, all the thoughts that we are able to think in this life, these are blessings that can only come from God. The fact that you and I have food today to eat is a blessing from God.
The fact that you and I have a shelter, a roof over our head, is a blessing from God. The fact that you and I have clothes to wear is a blessing from God. I hope I don't get in trouble for this later. But friends, do any of us really lack for clothes? I live with a woman who will look in her closet and go, I don't have anything to wear. I can look in her closet and there's a lot of clothes in there. You know what she means? I know I'm in trouble. I'm just digging the hole deeper. You know what she means when she said, I don't have anything to wear? She means, I don't see anything I like. That's what that means. Yeah, I know. It's not rocket science, ladies. I know. I should have. I get it. But here's my point. Do any of us wonder if we're going to have clothes to wear? We have clothes. Do you truly struggle to know where your next meal is going to come from? It's a constant battle at our house. You would think certain things are absolute guarantees. Now, I understand that vegetables is never going to be a guarantee with children. And I get it. I understand that even good meat isn't going to be a guarantee with children. I get it. But sometimes I sit back and I scratch my head and go, why are y'all turning your nose up to pizza? It happens. Did y'all's children ever turn their nose up to pizza? Ours have. I think they're from Mars. What child turns their nose up to pizza? But friends, whether it's pizza, whether it's vegetables, whatever it is, are you in danger of being hungry? I'm not. Are you in danger, friends, of wondering if you're going to have your life taken from you tomorrow? We don't live in a war zone. We don't live in an area where there's strife going on, bullets flying through the air. You know what that is? That's a blessing from God. You and I are able to come out and worship tonight freely. You and I are able to call upon God at any time. All these are blessings that you and I are not worthy of, but He's doled them out freely unto us. And all He has required of us is to think upon Him and to speak well of Him and to mention Him as opportunity presents. And so many times, we're like the chief butler. We forget Him. We forget all His kindnesses unto us. We forget all the wonderful things that He's done for us. And very quickly, I'm going to read just a little bit in Genesis 41. Because in Genesis 41, this comes full circle and highlights this point. We're going to talk about the story in greater detail at a later date. But in chapter 41, it says that Pharaoh was troubled because he had had two dreams in one night. And as he comes before him, has his magicians come before him, not a man in Egypt, not a single wise man or magician is able to tell Pharaoh's interpretation of his dreams unto him. And as he is speaking these things and he is laying out his dreams and the magicians can't answer his dream, we find where it says in verse 9, it says, then spake, this is Genesis 42 and verse 9, it says, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house. He says, both me and the chief baker, and we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man, according to his dream, did he interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Here, and you read in the previous verses, that 2 years have gone by. This butler has been negligent in his duty for two whole years. 2 years have gone by, he's forgotten Joseph, hadn't thought a thing about him. And now a similar situation comes up. And in this similar situation, he says, now I remember. Now I remember how I've messed up. And the reason I know is because I've seen this before. And when I was in trouble myself, when I stood in need myself, I know where there is help to be found. You know, there is something to be said for us coming to our senses. There's something to be said for us realizing our faults. You know, there are people in this world who have seen what you and I have seen. They've walked away from it. They've turned their back on it. And in some cases, they feel like that it wouldn't be good for me to come back. I talked to a man not too long ago who used to attend here years ago. And I said, you know, you ought to come back.
He said, I don't think anybody there wants me, and I'm not sure if the roof wouldn't fall in when I walk through the door. I'm not sure where this fable came from about the roof falling in on somebody when they walk in a church house. If any of you know the backstory of that, please let me know. I've heard this excuse all my life. I have no idea where it comes from. And I've never read in church history where the roof did fall in on somebody when they came back. I can tell you this, when you start seeing things that remind you of things from the past when Jesus has blessed you, it shouldn't be a time to walk further away from it. It should be a time to walk towards it. It should be a time for you and I to come and to draw near unto Him with a pure heart and with a fervent heart and a pure conscience. It should be a time for you and I to come and to stand with Him again and to say, please forgive me for all the ways that I've forgotten you. I can tell you, friends, that as many times as you've forgotten Him, I've probably forgotten Him more. There are times that I've gone my entire day and forgotten to pray. There's times that I've gone an entire day and forgotten that it's time to actually study and to meditate on the Word of God. When you actually think about what you and I have, we have access to the King of the universe at any moment of the day. Think about it. At any moment of the day, you can speak to the King of all creation. And how little do I speak to Him sometimes? At any moment of the day, I can open up and hear what the King of creation has to say to me. And sometimes it sits there and dust grows on the pages. There's times that I can walk and I can talk with Him. And oftentimes I don't. I forget Him. But when the realization hits that I have forgotten Him, when the realization comes that I have walked away from Him, it's not a time to start running. It's not a time to go further and further away. It's a time to draw near unto Him. And what's the promise? That if we draw nigh unto Him, He'll also draw nigh unto us. I don't find anywhere in the rest of this lesson where Joseph ever, even when he becomes, I'm sure you know how the story ends, he becomes second in power in all the land of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh himself. I don't find where he ever punishes the butler. I don't find where he ever sends him back to prison for what he did to him. Matter of fact, the butler did him wrong. Joseph doesn't send him to prison. His brethren did him wrong. When they come to him, he doesn't do them wrong. Everybody that did him wrong, he does not exact revenge upon them. And I can tell you this, friends, as gracious as Joseph was, and as kind and compassionate and as upright of a man as Joseph was, he doesn't hold a candle to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There has never been a more forgotten man in the entire world than Jesus Christ. And there has never been a man who did more for more people than Jesus Christ. And thankfully, that when you and I come to our senses, when our reason returns unto us, He's still kind and tender-hearted unto us. He's still merciful to put His arms around us. He's still merciful to say, be not afraid, it is I. I think many times about all the characters in the Bible, about how many things that they saw, how many experiences they had, and you think, you idiots, how could you ever doubt? You think about the children of Israel going through the Red Sea, seeing walls of water just stand up like jello and walking through on dry ground. Turn around and watch the chariots of Pharaoh come through and then get drowned in the Red Sea. Start singing the song of deliverance and you think, man, I bet they were good for a while. The very next chapter, they're complaining and murmuring that God's brought them out in the wilderness to die. And you think, you idiots. Maybe you don't do that when you read the Bible. I do. I read and I go, you idiots. And then you read about how the Lord gave them bread. Just rained it right down out of heaven. All they had to do is walk out and pick it up. This isn't even sweating for your bread. You just walk out and gather it up. Next chapter, what are they doing? We're tired of this. Really? You're tired of this? You don't even have to work for it. And you're tired of it? Well, before we get too hard on them, flip over with me real quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Because before we get too hard on the butler, before we get too hard on the children of Israel, before we get too hard on all the characters of the Bible for the things that they do, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says this. Verse 1, he says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And then Paul's going to go through and list several things that they got wrong. You know, the very fact that he says that this was written for our example, that we should not do like they did, means that you and I are capable of doing the very same things that they did. You and I are capable of engaging in the very same action that they did. You and I are capable of doing the very same thing that the butler did. And if we're honest, a lot of us have to admit, yes, I have done the very same thing. Because how many times have you come to the house of God and you've been blessed with a rich service, you've been blessed with a spiritual meeting, you've been lifted up in the preaching and you feel, surely that I'm one of God's children, surely God loves me, surely God is going to take care of me. And sometimes on Monday morning, and sometimes before Sunday's even done, you're back down in the hole again. You're back down in the trenches, licking your wounds and moaning and groaning and crying out, "Oh, poor pitiful me." Friends, you know what song Satan loves to hear you sing is, "Oh, poor pitiful me." You know why? Because you're on your focus and your thinking is on yourself. He wants to take your thinking off of God and put it on yourself, because he knows if we think about ourselves long enough, we're going to get depressed. If you won't amen that, I will. If we think about ourselves long enough, we're going to get depressed. But if we think about God long enough and hard enough, we will be uplifted and stay uplifted. And you and I, for the best of our abilities and to the best of our intentions, need to maintain our focus to remember what good things God has done for us, to remember the times that He comes and visits with us, to remember all the ways in which He has blessed us when we were undeserving of it. I mean, here's Joseph in prison for nothing that he's done wrong. And yet here's the butler in prison because he has done something wrong. He offended his king. He offended his Lord. You know, you and I are found in positions in this world that we've made our own mess. We made our own bed and we've got to sleep in it sometime. And yet the Lord stays there with us in our own mess, in our own situation, even though He hasn't done something wrong, and He's there to encourage us during our time of need. And yet so many times, even though He is not there because of anything He has done, He encourages us and we forget Him for all the wonderful things He's done for us. I want to tell you something, friends. I am resolved this night, and I hope that if you see me in the days to come and my head's downcast, my mouth is downturned, that you'll come and remind me about what a great Savior we have. That you'll come and remind me how great things the Lord has done for us. Let's not be like the disciples who have just moments after Jesus Christ knelt down and washed their feet, they were fussing and fighting about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Really? The greatest just knelt down and washed your feet, and now you're arguing about who it is. But aren't we that way? Jesus Christ condescends to us. He meets with us. He comforts us by His Spirit. And just a few moments later, we're fussing and fighting all over again. Isn't that the way we are? Isn't it true that sometimes we're blessed to be lifted up? Like Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration. We're blessed to see heavenly things. We're blessed to have just a rich spiritual experience. And the best thing we can offer is, "Well, Lord, let's make us here 3 tabernacles. One for Thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." You know why Peter said that on the Mount of Transfiguration? Because he didn't know what to say. I was taught growing up, if you don't know what to say, don't say nothing. I tell you, that's good advice. If you don't know what to say, don't say nothing. That may be bad English, but it's good advice. You know, Peter didn't know what to say, so he stuck his foot in his mouth like he does a lot of times. Sometimes I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do, and I stick my foot in my mouth like I do so many times. You know, my parents taught me that if you come to the crossroads of life and you don't know whether to go straight, to go left, to go right, or to turn around and go back to where you came from, one of the worst things you can do is guess. You may not find this in the Bible, but I'm convinced the point is biblical. Actually, the point is in the Bible. It's found in Jeremiah 6:16, now that I think about it. When you come to the crossroads of life and you've got options laid out before you, one of the worst things you can do is guess. Here's why. Because if you make the wrong choice, and if you guess, you probably will, because there's a multitude of choices and you have to guess at it, your odds of getting it right are very low. What is your next course of action going to be? You're going to have to retrace your steps, get back to where you started, and then go the right direction. It's a whole lot easier to stand still and wait upon the Lord and start your first step the right step in the right direction. Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That's the direction we need to take. And the direction that we take, the decision that we make, must start with the direction and guidance of the Lord. Where does that direction and guidance start? It starts by us thinking about Him, remembering Him, and beseeching Him for all the things that He's done for us. This butler forgot Joseph, but remembered his faults, and came back and spoke about Joseph to the king. May you and I speak about our Joseph, not forgetting, but speak about him often. Speak about him and remind one another of how great things he has done for us. Because I can assure you, friends, you and I have offended him. We've offended our king. We've offended one another in many times, many ways. We've been down in the dungeons of life at many times and in many different seasons. But the Lord's been faithful to stand by us at all times and all seasons. I love how Paul will end up there in 1 Corinthians 10. In 1 Corinthians 10, after he gets through talking about the children of Israel being examples that we should not do, he has this to say in verse 13. He says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Joseph's place in that prison, though he didn't deserve to be there, was being a blessing to the butler to show him that there was a way to escape, that he'd be able to bear this burden that he was in. He comes to us and gives us a way to escape, to bear the burdens that we're in. And all he requires of us is to think upon him, is to remember him. Friends, may you and I think upon him and remember him in days to come, because I can assure you, if we do, we'll be a whole lot better off. And if we do, we'll have fellowship with him on a more regular and often basis, and very, very often not find ourselves down in the holes of life, but find ourselves walking and talking and having sweet, sweet discussion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope that you'll remember these things, and that I will as well, so that we'll remember him and think upon him often. If these things have been a blessing unto you, you give him all the praise, honor, and glory. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.